No. We haven't seen too many leaves turn, but we're in the fall season. And every time of this year, we think about the feasts that God gave Israel to celebrate as a commemoration, as a guidepost, as a model to what he was going to do. Amen. And we see how God's plan has been working. Now, if you were to start going on the internet, you could find all kinds of end times stuff telling and saying all kinds of things. And I'm not really in big into all the hype, but we are going to, since it's this time of year, look at the feast. Now, we've studied the feast many times, so this church should be well versed in all of the feasts, right? We did it, I think, last week Sunday or Tuesday. So we should know, because they were given as symbols and shadows of future fulfillment. So let's name them in order. First one, Passover. Hold on a minute. And how was that fulfilled? In the Old Testament, they were to take a lamb, a kid of the goats, in Exodus 12. Okay? They would take a lamb, and that was for the Passover. How was that fulfilled literally? Jesus. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that does what? Taketh away the sin of the world." So that was literally fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Then the second feast is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And what does the unleavened bread signify? Sinlessness, right? Because it was pure. Leaven represents sin. And the Bible says that Jesus has become our unleavened bread. He said, "I am the bread," amen, "that came down." And then the third feast is what? First fruits. And what does that symbolize? We've taught really extensively, and we're gonna go back into this in the next couple of weeks, the harvest festivals, but the first fruits of what? No, but in the Old Testament, what was it the first fruits of? Barley, that was the first fruit. That was the first thing that was reaped in the beginning of the year, in the spring. It was the barley. And what have we taught that the barley represents? Or who does the barley represent? The Jews. Okay, so the first three feasts have to do with Jesus' first coming. Then we have a feast in the middle, and then we have the fall feast, which have to do with his second coming. Okay, so now, what was the fourth feast? Pentecost. And that one's unusual, because it was also a first fruit. But this time, what was it the first fruit of? Now, the first fruit in the Old Testament was wheat. Was I gave it away. I meant to say barley. Okay, so you all know now. Pentecost was the first fruit of the wheat harvest. The wheat harvest. And that's very significant, because this time they were to bring two loaves with leaven. You see, the church, we come as we are. See, under the law, you had to come after you had done all of the purification. But God can save you from wherever you are. So Pentecost is the single feast that kind of stands out by itself. By itself. And those were all literally fulfilled. Literally fulfilled. Jesus became our Passover. He was the unleavened bread. He was the first fruits of them that are going to be resurrected from the dead. That's when he arose, on first fruits. And then on the day of Pentecost, 50 days later, the birth of the church. So literally, four of the seven feasts have been fulfilled. We're waiting for the last three. The last three, and they all come very close, within 30 days of each other. In fact, who knows what's happening next week? First, the next one is what? Feast of Trumpets. Feast of Trumpets. So at sunset in Jerusalem on Sunday next week, Feast of Trumpets will begin. And the Feast of Trumpets is the only one of the seven that does what? What's unique about... All right, I'll give you a clue. Passover is on what date in the Jewish... What's the number that's associated with Passover? This is all review. You said it? The 14th. It's a full moon. It's the middle of the month. Okay? So the 14th, the 15th is unleavened bread, and the 17th is first fruits. And of course, 50 days later, in the Jewish month of Sivan, they celebrated on the 6th of Sivan, is Pentecost. Right? Now, so what's unusual? I've given you the clue. What's unusual about the Feast of Trumpets? It's the only one of the feasts that's on the first day of the month. In fact, it is the one of which all the other dates are set off. Because the first day of the month is how they count. The Jews, as I told you, never had names for their days. They had the first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day. So where do all our names come from? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Where do they come from? They're the names of pagan gods. Thor's Day. That's in Norse. Thor. Thor's Day. That they worship the sun on Sunday. Those names are pagan names that just kind of came into being used. But the Jews never had names for their days. It was the first day of the week. In the Bible, you see on the first day of the week. What day is that for us? Sunday, on the first day of the week, he arose. That's why we, through tradition, worship on a Sunday. But of course, we should worship God on what? Every day. Every day is a holy day for a Christian. So we see that the Feast of Trumpets is unusual because it's the only one that happens on the first day of the month. But more than that, it's also the first day of what? Not only is the first day of the month, but it is the first day of the Jewish New Year, the original New Year. In fact, the Jews teach it's the first day of creation. It's the first day of creation. So that means that the Feast of Trumpets on the very first day must have been on what day of the week? Sunday. Sunday, and I'm going to show you some things related to that. Okay, so we've established some things. So let's go on now. And I'm not going to say too much that is earth-shaking this week. So, Joel chapter 2, verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. For it is nigh at hand. Now, I don't know when the day of the Lord is coming. Because as I've said to you before, trumpets are blown on nearly every feast. And there were two types of trumpets that the Jews used. The shofar, which is the ram's horn. And anyone know what the other one is? The silver trumpet, which was the jubilee trumpet. Or the trumpet that they used for war. So those are the two types of trumpets. And they did blow trumpets quite a lot on different occasions. But on the day of the Feast of Trumpets, the trumpets were blown more than 100 times. 100 times. Yeah, Jason is amazed at that too. 100 times. And there were different types of trumpet blasts, and we're going to look at that. Joel chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand." Well, let's look in the Old Testament and let's see how far back we can see the Feast of Trumpets. Because it is tied to a change. A change. And we'll see that it because it's also the beginning of the year, what do people do at the beginning of the year? Not only do they celebrate, but what do? They make resolutions. They say, okay, well, the old year was bad. This year is going to have to be a change. It's going to have to be better, right? Well, we shall see that this really comes to the fore in the Old Testament dramatically, because believe it or not, God created the earth on the first Feast of Trumpets, and in essence, the earth was reborn on another Feast of Trumpets. Look at this. Genesis chapter 8, verse 13. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, guess what happened? The waters were dried off from off the earth. The earth was, in fact, kind of reborn, because remember I said that day one was Feast of Trumpets, because it's the very first day of Sunday. And we'll see that when the flood subsided, the day that Noah came out of the ark was also a Feast of Trumpets, though it wasn't called that. But you can look from the fact of the Bible telling us that information, that in the 600th year, in the first year, in the first month, on the first day of the month, you know what that is? Feast of Trumpets. Feast of Trumpets. The earth was reborn. Do you see that? How God keeps certain symbols right together. The waters were dried up from off the earth. A baby is born out of water. Do you know that? Well, you all know that. I'm sure you know that. One of the first things that they ask is, has the water broken? Once that's happened, there's no putting, there's no turning back. The baby is coming. Once the water has broken, there's going to be a birth. And we see that God timed this. And I didn't put all of the timing in there, because God timed this so precisely that the day that he opened the ark covering also was a Feast of Trumpets. It was the first day of the first month of the year. And Noah removed the covering of the ark, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. The earth was reborn. Isn't God amazing how he created the earth on that day, and he made it, the timing is so to show that it was him doing it. He made it so that the day they came out of the ark, where the earth was reborn, was also on the first day of the first month. So we see that God uses these same symbols consistently through the Bible. But when it was actually put into the law is given in Leviticus chapter 23 and 24. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, now, see if anyone can spot something different here. In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall he have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets and holy convocation. Now, don't you see a contradiction there somehow? Anyone spot the contradiction with what I read before? It says in the first month, in the first day of the month. Well, how can they be the same if it says here the seventh month, first day of the month? How can they both be Feast of Trumpets if it's giving different dates for it? Someone? No, they're both Jewish calendars. I'm not going to let you answer, Christopher. Sister Jeanette. No, it's the same feast. See, that's why God has to really open things for you to see. It says in Genesis, it's the first day of the first month. But in Leviticus, it says it's the seventh, first day of the seventh month. That's what it was. God changed the dating in the Exodus. The day they left Exodus, and we'll go to see it, he said, this month will now be the first of months to you. But I'm going to show you that somehow God is related. Now remember that originally there was exactly 30 days in each month. 30 days in each month. And the name of this month was called Tishri, or actually Ethanim, but during the time when they went to Babylon, they used the Babylonian name, so Tishri is what it's called today. So the first of Tishri is the Jewish New Year. And that was the day when God created the earth. But when he brought forth the law, and when Israel was leaving, he changed the months and said that this month now is going to be the first month for you. Anyone remember what that month is called? It's the Passover, so you should know. Nisan is the answer. The original name was Abib. So God changed the month. So that's why in Leviticus now, what was the first feast of Tishri, which used to be the first month, is called the seventh month. So 7 months span all of the seven feasts. So they're connected. They're connected, and I'm going to show you. So Tishri was used for secular business. That means when they were counting the reigns of the Jewish kings, they dated it from Tishri. Tishri was still the first of the year for secular business. But for religious things, Nisan or Abib became the first. And they're exactly 7 months apart. So let's look about this. Now, it's called by several different names. We know it as the Feast of Trumpets because it's the fifth. But in the Jewish Orthodox religion, it's not really called that. As I showed you, the scripture says a day of blowing. And so the Hebrew word for day is yom, and teruah means blowing. So in Hebrew, it's called yom teruah, the day of blowing. Because they blew the shofar, the ram's horn, at least 100 times on that day. It was also a day of rejoicing. It was a day of change. It was a new year. I mean, we celebrate New Year, don't we? We all get the day off, and we think, okay, 2015 wasn't what I wanted it to be. Maybe 2016 will be better. And then for the first month, we keep writing the wrong date. So this day goes by more than one name. In the Hebrew, it's also called Yom Teruah, and it means the day of blowing. Numbers 29:1 also speaks of it. In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, ye shall have an holy convocation. That means it became a Sabbath. They were to obey Sabbath day rules on this day. That means they could not do any work. They could not cook. They could not, you know, do anything that was manual labor. It had the same rules as a Sabbath. And they had to get together, a convocation. Ye shall do no servile work. It is a day of blowing. So in the Hebrew there, it's a Yom Teruah, the trumpets unto you. And it was also to signify the beginning and the creation, actually, of God. The secular creation, so to speak. Now the other name for it, because it's the New Year's Day, is Head of the Year. And that's what we also know it by, Rosh Hashanah. So it has more than one name. So you've heard Yom Teruah, and you've heard Rosh Hashanah is probably what most people have heard it by. And Rosh in Hebrew means chief or head. So it means the head day of the year. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. I read that scripture. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. And so when it says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, it was a warning. When a trumpet usually sounds, it's usually for what? A warning. A warning. Back then they didn't have internet. They didn't have telephones. So the lookouts had on the watchtower had a trumpet. They would sound the alarm. Psalms 81 verse 3 says, blow up the trumpets in the new moon. Why does it say the new moon? Anyone know what a new moon is? Well, the new moon, remember the Jewish calendar was based on cycles of the moon. The month was tied to the new moon. So the first day of the month was when the moon was new. The funny thing is, when it's new, you can't see it. Because what it means is that it's exactly blocking out the sun. So it's when the moon is in direct alignment with the earth and the sun, and it's dark, you can't see it. And so that was when the month began. But because you couldn't see it, the Sanhedrin would send two witnesses. Two witnesses out across the valley in Jerusalem to the mount. And they would have to verify that they could see that the moon had become new. And the way they would do that, they'd wait until they could just see the sun, the moon go past, and just the first crescent. And that was the reason why it became a two-day event, because you might see it or you might not. It was a day of which you couldn't know the day or the hour, because it depended on if it was cloudy, then it would be the next day that the two witnesses would say, yeah, we both agree, we saw the crescent moon. And so that would set the date for the counting of the rest of the days of the month, when the new moon, the first little crescent of the new moon, had passed the zenith, Sister Mary. You'll have to really speak up. Well, you see, originally, Muhammad presented himself to the Jews as their Messiah. Originally, if you read the history, his followers turned to Jerusalem and tried to observe the Sabbath. It's no coincidence that the Muslims used the Friday. Once the Jews rejected him, he picked his own day. And so they worship on the Friday. And if you understand, the moon at that point is not quite where it should be. So you have the crescent, because it's the day before they would celebrate. And so a lot of the Muslim tradition comes out of the Bible that he took, or whoever spoke to him, supposedly Gabriel, told him all this stuff. You have to really speak up. Well, some people interpret it that way, you know, because let's suppose that it is the Feast of Trumpets that the rapture takes place on. Well, some people would then say, well, then that would be against the scripture that says you cannot know the day or the hour. Well, back then they could not know the day or the hour because they didn't have the telescopes. They would have to wait until they saw the crescent moon. So it could be today or tomorrow. Now, once you know the day of the first day of the week or the month, all the other dates fall into place. But this feast is the one that sets all the other dates. So you could not know the exact day or the hour, because the two witnesses had to verify that they had seen the first sliver of the crescent moon. So it could be today. So today in Judaism, I believe they celebrate it over a two-day period. Isn't that right? They don't celebrate it over one day, because remember, although it's supposed to be one day, you couldn't be certain that it was today or tomorrow. And so that's the reason why today they celebrate it over a two-day period. So now let's look at Exodus. Sorry, Sister Mary. I'm glad people are asking questions. Today we do know. Here's the truth. Here's the truth. I don't know. I don't know exactly. What I do believe, here's what I do believe, is he's coming. I do believe it will be associated with either the Feast of Trumpets or the Day of Pentecost. Remember, I said there were trumpets blown several times. And in the next teachings I'm going to teach, I'm going to explain to you why. Because it's a little bit complicated. Remember I told you the last time that Jesus, on the day of Pentecost, said, you say there are yet 4 months to the harvest, but I'm telling you, now are the fields white and ready to be harvested. So I think God deliberately wasn't too precise, because he didn't want us to waiting for the last minute, which, you know, is what most people would do. If you knew exactly when the rapture, most people would live like the devil. And then a week or so, they'd go to church and then ask for forgiveness. God wants us to be ready. He said we'd know the season, and that's about as good enough. Now, we are in the season. We are definitely in the season. And I'll give you some reasons. Now, if you've been following all of the posts on the internet and all of that, you'll see that people are going back to some prophecies of Isaac Newton. And he was a very, come to find out, quite a strange character, really. I had been studying him quite a few years ago, and he wrote more about the Bible and prophecy than he did about science. And he's ranked as, in the last 1,000 years, he's probably ranked as either number one or number two in science. But here's some interesting things. Number one, he didn't believe in a Trinity. He could read and write both Greek and Hebrew, and he studied the Bible for himself. He had to keep it quiet because in those days he would have been executed if he said that God was one. But in his interpretation of Daniel, the book of Daniel, he believed that in the prophecy we studied about Daniel, it's broken up into three sections. It says 49 years, or 7 times 7, and then it says 62 times 7, the total of which is 69 times 7, or 400 and something years. But he believed that that prophecy not only contained the prophecy of his first coming, but also was related to his second coming. And so if you go on the internet or do some research, you'll see some people have taken what he said and applied it now. Now, he may be right. That would be great. If the Lord comes next week, Sunday at sunset, that would be great. That would be totally all right by me. And the way they come up with that is that, remember, every after 49 years, the 50th year is what? A jubilee. Freedom. 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 Everything returns back to the one who owns it. You see, planet Earth is only on a short lease. And eventually it's going to return back to the one who created it. The Earth is going to have a jubilee. Well, if you remember the prophecy in Daniel, it said after 49 years or 7 sevens, the Jerusalem, the wall, would be rebuilt. Right? Well, the Jews captured Jerusalem proper in 1967, Six-Day War, 6th of June. And if you take 49 years, Jewish years now, that is with 30-day months, 12 30-day months times 49, and you take the number and you date it from when they took Jerusalem, it comes to next week, September 13th, Feast of Trumpets. So who knows? I don't know, but I'm teaching on this so that we will be expecting. The Bible says he's coming back, that love and are looking for his appearance. The last words of Revelation says, even so, come quickly. We're entering a period of Earth's history that isn't going to be so nice. You look back on all the wars and stuff that's happened, and the Bible says there's come in a time such on earth as never was. And you think, how is that possible when you've seen all the things that man has done to man? And yet that is not going to be even the beginning of what is going to come upon the earth. Amen. Let's go back a little bit. As I said, originally Tishri was the first month. But in Exodus 12 and verse 1, on the night, the Passover night, that they were going to leave Egypt, and the Lord spake to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month, and then it was called Abib, shall be unto you the beginning of months. So the Lord changed the calendar. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So what was the first month from then on in the Bible is now called the seventh month. And that's why it's shown as the seventh month, though it's still the secular new year for the Jews. Now I want to show you something, and I'm not sure if I can show you effectively. There I've put the first 3 months. And remember now, the Jewish calendar only had 30 days. And the Bible and the Jews teach that the first day was a Sunday. Genesis 1:3, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening on the morning were the first day, Sunday. Okay, so now, since the week has 7 days and the month has 30 days, that doesn't quite fit. You notice that. It's not an exact, you won't get an exact number of weeks in a 30-day month. And you'll see that the first month ends on a Monday, right? The first month ends on a Monday. And so the second month, when the earth was 1 month old, the first day of the second month began on a Tuesday and ended on a Wednesday. And the third month began on a Thursday and ended on a Friday. So my question to you is, what month will it be when it comes back to a Sunday? Does anyone see a pattern? Tara, you have an answer? No, we'll take the question after you give me the answer. What I'm showing you is the first 3 months, and you notice it goes Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday. So that's 3 months. How many months before it comes back or completes the cycle? Seven. So you see what God did when he moved what was the first month to the seventh month. It's still within the cycle. It completes the cycle. Let me show you the full counting, and you'll see that the end of the seventh month is a Saturday. So the cycle will begin again on the eighth month. So 7 months completes the cycle where the first day of the week comes back to a Sunday. Do you see that? So when God changed Abib to be the first month, all he did was make sure that the Sunday would come again after the seventh month was complete. I don't know if you see that. So the religious year lasts over this seventh month. The Jewish religious year lasts over this seventh month cycle. Now, on that day, there are four types of trumpet blasts that they do. There's four types of trumpet blasts, and they have names for them. The first one is called a tekiah. And that's an unbroken blast lasting about 3 seconds. It's called a tekiah. And then you have another one that's called a shavarim. And that's three, doop, 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 blasts that were done. And all of these have different meanings. I'm probably not going to get into them all tonight. Then the third one was called a teruah, which was nine rapid fire blasts. And then the last one, which is the one I think we will be interested in, was called the tekiah gedola. And that was the one that lasted the longest and was also called, anyone know what it was called? The last trump. The last trump. Sister Terry, your question. Sorry? Could someone relay what she's saying? Because they just had numbers for it. The first day was called the first day. We are the ones that call it Sunday. But the first day of the week was always called just by a number. How did they know? Well, because of the moon cycle. The calendar was set by the moon. On a new moon, it was the beginning of a month. And their months had 30 days. Because back then, actually, the moon actually took 30 days. We've taught about that before, how about 700 BC, the moon cycle changed. All ancient calendars past 700 BC use a 30-day month. That makes no sense unless the moon was going around the earth exactly 30 days. So something happened that changed the orbit of the moon, so now it's going a little bit less. So how long is a month now exactly? Does anyone know? It's 29.64 whatever. But we can tell from looking at ancient calendars that everybody used a 360-day calendar. That's where we get 360 degrees because that was the Babylonian system. So we can see that something changed. Now I'm going to try, and I hope this will work, is to have you listen to some of these blasts. See if we can get this to work here. I've got it. Okay, we got sound. So this is going to be all four of these. Okay, and in Nehemiah, let me shut that off before it plays another one. In Nehemiah, the scripture that came up on that, in what place, therefore, he hear the sound of the trumpet, it means gather together. Why? Because God shall fight for us. What were they to do after they had marched around Jericho? They were to shout and then do what? Blow the trumpet. And then the rest was done by God. Here is what they call a juxtaposition. Here they were building the wall. In Jericho, the wall was being destroyed. In what place, therefore, he hear the sound of the trumpet? Means that's a gathering call. That means get to the place of gathering. God shall fight for us. So if you hear that sound one night or sometime next Sunday and your name called, wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something? Amen. Well, let's go back to the Bible. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month. So that's why in Exodus and in Numbers it says the seventh month, but it is actually the first day of the Jewish New Year. Shall he have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. That's going to be an ingathering. But the one of those blasts that we are interested in is the last one. It was called the Tekiah Gedolah. It was called the last trump. Isaiah 27, verse 13, it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will thresh from the channel of the river to the brook of Egypt. And you will be gathered one by one. O you children of Israel, so shall it be in that day, the great trumpet. And in Hebrew, it's speaking about that Tekiah Gedolah will be blown. Matthew 24:31, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect. Saints, that's why we're coming to church. I'm glad to see you, but I would much rather see him. I don't know what that means to you, but what a waste to have come to church year in, year out, since I was 3 days old, they tell me, not to make it. The Bible says we are nearer now than when you first began. This is not a time to be giving up. This is not a time, as he preached, to be going back to Egypt. There's another way you can calculate things, you know. You can say that a generation is 40 years. You can say a generation is 70 years. And if you take 70 years from the birth of Israel, where do you get? 70 plus 48 is what? 2018? 2017? We are in the season. We are in the season. Even in Peter's day, because God let it be known that his return was imminent, he didn't want the first church thinking they had 1,000 years or 2,000 years. They thought it was imminent. That's how we have to live our life, like it's imminent. He never told the first church, the early church, they thought he could come in their day. Because if he had told them, well, there's so many more people need to be born to be saved, they'd have just laid back, well, we got time. But I'm telling you, he gave a sign. He said, when you see the fig tree blossom, when you see the fig tree blossom, and you all know that that symbol is Israel, know that summer is nigh, that we are in the season. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. The symbol for Israel is the fig tree. So for 2,000 years, from AD 70 till 1948, there was no nation of Israel. That prophecy could not be fulfilled. 300 years before, Isaac Newton knew that, and he wrote in his journal that there would come a time when Israel would be back as a nation, from his own studies. Now, one of the other things you'll see on the internet if you go search for it, is there's a prophecy in Revelation, and I didn't put this in here, about John said he saw a star fall from heaven with the key of the bottomless pit. Now, what in heaven's name is that? And he opened the pit. He opened the pit. What does that mean? Because out of the pit came forth locusts, which are emblematic of demons, spirits. And that will truly be the beginning of something horrible. That's really going to be something. And we may have actually seen some of that beginning already. Because it also says, I saw the souls of them that had been beheaded. Nobody was beheading until very recently. And who were they beheading? Christians. Prophecies being fulfilled before our eyes. But just as in Jesus' day, they were blind to it. They didn't realize that right before their eyes, prophecy was being fulfilled. There came a day when he went into his hometown synagogue and he was handed the scroll from the book of Isaiah and he opened it to chapter 61 and he started to read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me. And as he was reading, they still didn't realize who it was who was reading to them. Is God been speaking to us and we don't realize that we are not too far. Not too far. So if you take 70 years, Jesus said the generation that sees the beginning of these signs won't completely pass away. So whichever way you calculate it, we are definitely in that generation. We're definitely in that. He said the people who begin to see these signs fulfilled will not pass away. He gave all kinds of hints. I'd love to hear that for real. I want to hear that Tikaya Gedala for real. And then my name called. You see, we're about to fulfill the fifth appointment. You know, when you go to the doctor, they make an appointment. And maybe a week or two, sometimes I make appointments and it's 6 months away, you know, and I forget about it. But usually about a week or two before, the receptionist calls and said, do you know you have an appointment coming up? I'm telling you, the receptionist has called and is telling you, do you know you have an appointment coming up? Are you ready to fulfill it? We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Again, that's that Tekiah Gedola. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. You see, we're waiting for that next fulfillment. God has been so faithful to fulfill literally four of the seven feasts, and we're coming up on number five. And the next three come in quick succession. In quick succession. There's an appointment to be kept. In Hebrew, that word is moed, and it means appointment. Anytime in the Old Testament you see the word appointment, it's really referring to a feast. At the appointed time, Abraham, you're going to have a son. God never breaks his appointments. He never breaks his appointment. The Bible says when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman. The fullness of his second coming, is about upon us. You ever wondered why John the Baptist, after seeing the Holy Spirit come down upon Jesus, should later send messages and say, "Are you the one?" Do you remember he did that? Do you ever think about why he did that? Could it be that he doubted? Well, let me give you my explanation. It wasn't that he doubted, but he didn't understand the second coming. He knew, as all the Jews did, that the Messiah was going to come and establish the kingdom. And that could have happened if the Jews had not had blindness in part. And that's the reason why he said, "Should we look for another?" Because they were looking for the kingdom to be set up at that time. Well, now we don't have to look for another, because this time the kingdom is going to be set up. We don't have to send word and say, "Do we need to look for another?" Because very soon, this scripture, this appointment is going to be fulfilled. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. In that series I taught about the Ascension War, it was modeled in the Battle of Jericho. The wall fell flat, and the scripture says there was a trumpet blast and a shout. And what does the scripture say? The people ascended. Go look at it in Exodus. It says there was a shout, a trumpet blast, and the people ascended. You see, as I taught about Elijah, he was by Jericho when he did what? Last week, remember? He crossed over, and the Bible said he ascended. And he had been in the same mount where Moses disappeared. Next week, I will go a little bit more deeper into this. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. They say if he hadn't said Lazarus, everybody who was dead would have come back. If he had just said, "Come back," or "Arise," without saying Lazarus, everybody who had ever died would come back. He had to say, "Be specific, Lazarus." He's going to be specific. You're going to hear your name called. You're going to hear your name called. He said, "If you would confess my name among men," you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to confess your name. Your name is going to be called. You ever been to a prize giving? You ever won anything? When they call your name and you walk up and it's been a long time for me, high school. When they call your name, we're going to a heavenly prize giving. The Bible says, "For we must all appear at the judgment seat of Christ to receive." Now, this is not a condemnation. This is an award ceremony. They're going to call your name, and they're going to give you a reward. Question is it going to be big or small? What have we done for Christ? What have we done? Have we witnessed? Can we point to anyone and say, I told that person, they saw how much I believed in this thing, and they came to church? Or are we just going to bring ourselves and say, "Well, Lord, you gave me this one talent. I kept it. I made it." Now, that's great. That's great to have made it. But remember, in the Old Testament, every time there was a feast day, you couldn't come what? You couldn't come what? Empty-handed. You had to bring something. For the Lord himself, he's not leaving it to anybody else, will descend from heaven with a shout. I believe it's going to be your name. With the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. You know, when I read that, I always think of my parents. They're buried out there in Graceland Cemetery. Side by side. And the last time I saw them, they were looking old. My father was 86. He would have been 90, I think, this year. My mother was 82. But God willing, the next time I see them, they'll be looking just like some pictures I have. Amen. For the dead in Christ shall arise first. And then we who are alive, when you hear that trumpet, we're coming up on the Feast of Trumpets 2015. I don't know how much longer we have, because prophecy is already starting to be fulfilled. Now, I was saying to you about the fact that the Bible speaks, he said he saw a star fall from heaven with a key. Well, over in Europe, there's a place called CERN. Anyone ever heard of that? Maggie has heard of that. Well, CERN is the center, and I don't know all of the title for it, but it's where they have this huge, gigantic machine where they accelerate particles, atomic particles, around a ring buried under the earth. And the ring is about 27 miles across, because they need that amount of distance to get the speed that they want. And this first turned on about 2007. And what they do is they accelerate subatomic particles around this ring, and then they accelerate other subatomic particles going the other way. And once they have spun up to almost the speed of light, they crash them together. Because what they're trying to reproduce is, according to them, the birth of the universe. And so by smashing these particles together, they can get higher and higher energies. Well, even according to their theories, there's a danger in doing this. Because at some energy, you create a rip in the fabric of space. I don't know if you follow what I'm saying. Well, outside of CERN, and maybe next week I'll show you, they have a symbol for this organization. They have a symbol for this organization. And at first, it looks like nines. But if you really look at it, it really looks like sixes. There's three of them. You can look it up on your cell phone. Just Google CERN's symbol. Well, there have been many scientists saying, well, it's a bit dangerous what they're doing, because at a certain energy, they might create what they call a black hole, because they've made the matter so dense that now it's beginning to draw in all matter around it. Now, I don't know if that is the key. I will tell you that they were shut down for 2 years while they were doubling the power that they could do, and they've just started up again. Just started up. In fact, they were supposed to do a run, their next energy level, next week, Monday. I think it's been delayed a little bit. Now, I don't know if that's what opens up this rift in the abyss. I don't have any idea. But what I am telling you is that there are things going on around our very earth that we have no idea about. The trumpet is being blown. The watchman is sounding the alarm. Amen. I'm going to stop here tonight. And we will continue next week. Amen. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. Sister Cindy. They're trying to unify the four known forces, or find out if there's a fifth force. And the way they do that is they have a theory that says at a certain energy, these forces become unified. Well, the only way they can do that presently is to smash these particles, and then they watch, they have what's the equivalent of a photograph, but it's much more sophisticated than that. And they look at the remnants of the explosion, and from that they can see if any new particles are being created. And this is how they discover new particles. But some other scientists are saying there's a danger, because they really don't know what could happen. You know, they have a theory, and their theory is not perfect. They know that already. And what they could do is cause a rift in space. I don't know if that's how these things are going to come out, but I'm just telling you, throwing that out there. Now, it's interesting that their other symbol, the monument that is outside of CERN, because the thing looks like a circle where the atoms smash together. And their symbol is the Hindu god Shiva. And Shiva means destruction. Shiva is the Hindu god of destruction. Well, you remember in Revelation, it said, and his name was Apollyon. And Apollyon means destruction. Let's stand. Let's stand. Maybe we won't have Bible study next week. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, are you alive in Christ tonight? Because you have to be alive in Christ for this to apply to you. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always or forever be with the Lord. Amen. I'm not setting any dates. All I'm telling you is there's all kinds of things going on in this world that if you knew would make the hair stand up on end. If you knew some of the things that were going on. Now, NASA, 2 weeks ago, had to issue a denial that there was an asteroid about to hit the Earth. Now, I don't know if there is one or not, but the Bible does say that the heavens were shaken and the stars did what? Fall. There is coming on this Earth a time such as never was. Never was. But you know what? The Bible says he hath not appointed us unto wrath. We're going to be like the Philadelphian church. He says, because you have had a little strength, I'm going to keep you from the hour of tribulation that is coming to try all those that are upon the earth. I wouldn't have to sell my house, my car, or anything. I wouldn't have to pay off my mortgage. Wouldn't have to worry about next month's rent because I have a mansion. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in me. Believe in God. Believe also in me. I go to prepare a place. John chapter 14. That where I am, you may be also. Acts chapter 1. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Don't you know that this same Jesus shall so come again in like manner? But until then, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe. That means follow through with my commands. And lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the earth. Amen. We are in the season, all right. I don't know if their plans got delayed, but I heard that they were supposed to turn that thing on to the next. They were going to double the power that they were shoving through it. Sister Maggie, you have some information. Now, I don't know if that's significant or not. I already believe some demons have gotten out just by what's going on in Iraq and Iran. But the Bible says that they had power for 5 months. Now, where did you hear that number before? Well, it's in Genesis. It says the waters. I'm not going to quote. Next week we'll continue, if the Lord chooses to keep us here. Amen. But this is the time to not be thinking, oh, I have a lot of time. No, this is the time to be serious. Because he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. We can't be perfect in ourselves. But if we will separate ourselves, he said to Israel, sanctify yourselves for today, because I'm going to do something. Before he did anything with Israel, he said, set yourself apart. I'm going to do something. And as soon as Israel sanctified themselves, God started to work on their behalf. I'm going to close, but I want you to know this Feast of Trumpets could be different. I'm not setting any dates. I don't know. Here's the thing. The Jubilee was in the 50th year. So in the 50th year, They also blew a trumpet on the Day of Atonement. And what happened on the Day of Atonement when they blew the Jubilee trumpet in the 50th year was all debts were canceled. All slaves were let go. And they declared freedom. And joy was trumpeted through the land. Now that was a silver trumpet. So, if Isaac Newton is right, I don't know. Then between now and the 2016 would be the Jubilee year for the earth. The Jubilee year for the earth. Jesus said in John, after 6 days, he took them up. We're definitely in the sixth day. And they beheld his glory. And they saw two other people there. One who had died and one who had never died. One represents the saints that have already died, and one represents the saints that are alive. They saw Moses, and they saw Elijah. It's time for us to really get serious. We need to sanctify ourselves so that even if it's not next week or this month or next year, that whenever it is, we can go to God and say, Lord, you gave me 2 talents, and look what I have done. I spoke to everyone I knew, people even who didn't like me because I didn't want their soul to be lost. People who I knew didn't like me. I still try to reach them, Lord. You only gave me 2 talents. But I took those 2 talents, and I made 4. And he's going to say, welcome, thou blessed and faithful servant. Enter in to the joy of your Lord. I'm trying to close, but I just want you to know we need to be ready. For in such a time as ye think not, that's what Jesus said, in such a time as you think not, the husbandman, the master will come to his vineyard. Let's bow our heads at this time. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Oh God, help this to inspire us even as we see the day approaching. Oh God, that we will make sure that we are separate from this world.